in our country is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so this is a subject that the church for years and years has never really addressed or talked about, which is why we are going to start addressing this a little bit more here at Promise. Because it's not an easy thing to talk about. And so underneath the scripture from Galatians 6:2, which we shared with the children just a minute ago, bearing one another's burdens. And this is what this is all about. So I read a book, or at least I'm into a book, let me put it that way. I haven't finished it. But it was written by a LCMS pastor who struggles with depression and was diagnosed with major clinical depression. And listen to this quote from this pastor. I quote, "It was Good Friday, but it was not good for me. I was 3 months into being diagnosed with major clinical depression, and everything was a struggle. For 3 months, I had tried to act like a pastor, even though I was on disability. I preached, taught Bible class, and was around far more than the fog in my brain should have let me. So it is that I found myself contemplating my own death on the day of the Lord's death. Contemplating, planning, expecting to die. If not that day, then very soon. How did I get there? How did I get to the place where I would be considering that darkest of all escapes, suicide, on the day when we commemorate our Lord's death for us all?" This is the struggles of a pastor. So like I mentioned, this is something that's very prevalent in our world today, and it increased 100% or whatever percentage there is because of COVID. It was bad before, now it's even worse. And so here's a couple stats. Some people like stats. Depression and anxiety are the top two mental illnesses that are out there. But there are many others, you know, like PTSD and bipolar and schizophrenia, and there's others, substance abuse. All these things are part of mental illness. There's 1 in 5 U.S. adults that experience mental illness each year. 1 in 20 U.S. adults experience serious mental illness each year. 1 in 6 U.S. youth aged 6 to 17 experience a mental health disorder each year. And suicide is the second leading cause of death among people aged 10 to 14. You know, mental illness can be a frightening experience, not only for the person that's diagnosed, but for those that are with them, their family, the people that are helping them or trying to help them, the people close to them, watching them. You know, it can be tough to watch a loved one go through one of these mental illnesses. Here's another quote from that pastor. His name, by the way, is Todd Peppercorn. Quote, "Depression is difficult to describe. Words like darkness often come to mind. A fog of the brain, walking through thick water, seeing the world as only the faintest of grays, not seeing outside of yourself at all." End of quote. You know, I don't know how many of you, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, have been diagnosed with any mental illness, but I'm guessing since the stats say 1 in 5, there's a good number of us, right? And I can tell you as your pastor, I've been diagnosed with major clinical depression. And reading that pastor's book is, I feel like he's speaking like right to me sometimes. But there's this stigma that has gone around this mental illness thing for years and years, especially in the church for some reason. And like I said, you know, the church has struggled to minister to people that are suffering with this illness. You know, if somebody has heart trouble or or cancer or things like that, it's easier to see and to help. We understand that, even though those things are terrible too. But it's easier to minister to those people. And so there's this stigma that the Christian person that's suffering should just snap out of it. You need to be stronger. You need to trust Jesus more. It's a test from God. Just keep the faith. These are all things, by the way, people have said to those suffering with a mental illness. And I had this one said to me, you just need to pray more. Oh, okay, great. Not only do I have a mental illness, I'm a terrible Christian too. Thanks for the help. You know, there's a stigma around it all that it's embarrassing or you should be ashamed. And I say that because I was embarrassed and ashamed at first. Now, obviously, I don't care. I'm telling all of you. But there, I was embarrassed. You know, I'm a man. I shouldn't need some kind of a pill to help me feel better. Because what Pastor Peppercorn said before this, it's hard to explain. If anybody has depression, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard to explain to somebody that doesn't have it. But please don't listen to any of these lies. Because that's all they are, is lies. And the first bullet point is just we need to stop the stigma. And it can start with us Christians in the Christian church. We need to stop the stigma. But today, it's not as bad. Things are getting better because we know a lot more about our human brains. You know, that we know that our mental health is part of our physical health. And it's something we need to take care of, just like our physical bodies we need to take care of. We need to take care of our brains. And we need to make sure people understand that these diseases and sicknesses and illnesses are not a result of our sin. But it's just this complex web of causes, such as the environment that we're in, or it's hereditary, or it's experiential, and things like that. You know, mental illness can make it harder for an individual to understand the love that God has for you. It can be tough because if you're struggling and suffering, thinking, how could anybody love me? I'm this flawed person that doesn't even have a normal brain. How could God love me? And so something we need to all do as a body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as Galatians 6:2 is bear one another's burdens. Come alongside each other. And we all need to remind ourselves, whether we have a mental illness or not, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, which is the next bullet point on your sheets, created in the image of God. The fearfully and wonderfully made is in Psalm 139, where God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The verse I read from Isaiah before, he knows your name, you are his. Genesis 1:26 says we were created in the image of God. God doesn't make junk. He created you all the way that he wanted you to be. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we need to constantly let people know that. You know, there's a guy in the Bible, Elijah. He's one of my favorite people in the Bible. And in 1 Kings, I have it up on the screen, but Elijah was a prophet that was sent by God, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, to speak to the people of Israel who had strayed off once again. And Elijah did some amazing things. God did amazing things through Elijah. And so he had a lot of high points. He had just conquered the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. But now we're going to pick up Elijah in chapter 19 of 1 Kings when Elijah is being chased by Jezebel. And so let's pick it up in verse 4. But he, Elijah himself, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Then he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. You see, Elijah needed God more than ever. He was feeling lonely. He was depressed, if they diagnosed such a thing then. He was struggling. He didn't want to live any longer. And God can come in fire, earthquake, and all the wind. He can do that. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes God needs to smack us upside the head with the law, right? But that's not what Elijah needed. He needed the gospel, which is exactly what God gave him in that low whisper. Reminding Elijah, and he reminds each and every one of you, that he is always there with you no matter what you are going through. So let me ask you guys a question. How do you respond when somebody says to you, it's the typical thing here in America, "How's it going?" "I'm doing good. How are you doing?" "Good, good. See you later." What if we were honest about that question? Have you ever tried to throw somebody off by saying, "You know what? Actually, it's going pretty cruddy right now." A lot of the answers we give is, "I'm fine." "Yeah, I'm fine." When really you're not. You're broken and you're feeling lost. There's a song that the band is going to sing when we do communion. And some of the lyrics, I just wanted to read those to you. And then as they sing, just really meditate on them. Lie number one, you're supposed to have it all together. Have you ever felt that way? And when they ask how you're doing, just smile and tell them never better. Lie number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. Have you ever felt that way? Especially when you come to church. We got to all keep it together here, don't we? We all got to put on a mask and hide what's really going on, right? No, we shouldn't have to do that, should we? But we do. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. That's a lie. Don't do that. Because the church, which by the way, whenever you hear that word, it's something we're talking about in the 1 Corinthians Bible study. Every time Paul used that word, the church, anytime that word is used, we're not talking about a building. We are talking about the people. You are the church. And the church is a sanctuary where we bear one another's burdens, where we offer compassion to those who are suffering. And the church is where forgiveness is given. It's the third bullet point. And that's what the things that we need to be. People need to understand they can come in here if they're broken. And we also need to remind everybody that God indeed loves them. You know, and this just isn't some cliche, but Jesus loves you. In fact, he loves you so much that he died on the cross for your sins because you are fearfully and wonderfully made and created in the image of God. And he was willing to give his life and shed his blood for you because he would rather do that than live in eternity without you. If you are suffering with a mental illness, know that your pastor and your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are standing shoulder to shoulder with you at the foot of the cross, which is the number one remedy cure for all of these illnesses. Am I right? No matter whether you have mental illness, whether you have cancer, whether you have whatever, we are all standing at the foot of the cross together, sick. And that's where the healing comes from. And we thank Jesus for that. And may God give us wisdom, discernment, and love, and the love that we need to help those who are suffering. Amen. Will you please pray with me?